WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, everyone. This is Angelina Love.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
This is WWE superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com because they post amazing things all the time and you should check them out because we love them and you'll love them too. But, well... just don't do it yet because we don't want you to tune out. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me as always is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Happy Montreal Screwjob Day, everybody.
That's a thing?
Yes.
That's a thing?
Happy Montreal Screwjob Day, everybody.
Really?
Okay, it's the 20th anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob, so happy Montreal Screwjob Day, everybody.
Happy Rusev Day, everyone.
In Rusev Day, there is a Montreal Screwjob. Because reasons.
Reasons.
But
reasons.
Yes, everyone should go watch things about the Screwjob because the Screwjob was the most historical event in Canada and wrestling history since, I don't know, Pink was invented. I don't know. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Gerwick.net. Listen to the program, or interact with us in our chat rooms at those websites, or tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RockRadioShow, or at Lynn's Ward.
So, we have a stacked show for you this evening. We've got news, we've got notes, we'll have NXT, SmackDown, Tweet of the Week, and a discussion!
What?
A second week!
No way.
I know! I'm so excited we're not talking about a pay-per-view again this week. Not that I don't like pay-per-views, but every week, it's literally review, preview, every freaking week. We never get a break, so to have 2 weeks... where we don't have to worry about a pay-per-view. It's like the old days before the brand split. So happy.
Next week on the program, we're previewing two.
Yeah, that's the downside of this. You get two discussions out of us, but we have to talk about two pay-per-views next week.
Though, once we get into news presented by Gerwick, then I have a little tidbit we can drop. So.
Ooh, tidbits. I like tidbits.
Not tidbits on Montreal Screwjob Day. Tidbits.
But tidbits are so much better.
Munchkins are better than tidbits. Hot take.
How dare you?
Hot take.
Go to your corner.
Hot take.
God, how can I ever speak to you again? No, just kidding.
Pepsi and Munchkins, the combo, right there. Hot
oh,
take.
Oh, God, that's like, that hot. Makes my stomach hurt.
Hot take.
No.
She doesn't like pizza and french fries. What's wrong with her?
I never said I didn't like pizza and french fries. It's just a weird combination.
It's the best combo.
I don't know anybody except for you that eats pizza and french fries.
Pizza and french fries, the best.
That's gotta be like a northern thing, because like nobody down here does that. Nobody.
People are weird. Coke, you don't like pizza and french fries?
Because it's not a thing here.
They don't know what real food is, just saying.
No, we do.
Anyway. What's in the
news? We just don't do weird crap.
What's in the news presented by GoWork.net? Yes, Matt, pizza and french fries.
It's his thing. He does it. I'm sure it's yummy. I've just never tried it because the fancy has never struck me to eat pizza and french fries together because I generally just dive face first into a pizza and that's it.
You what? You don't do crust first?
No.
Good, because that's just weird.
I don't get pizza with crust. I get the thin crust.
Thin crust isn't bad.
Unless it's like mellow mushroom, they make the best pizza crust ever. And they actually use their pizza dough to make these pretzel things that are so good. Seriously, if you have a mellow mushroom, check them out. They're amazing. Anyway, we've got the news brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net and FightBoot.com. And, well, we were going to start with the biggest story of the week that it actually turns out is a non-story, which I'm super happy to hear because I was kind of worried about this one. And the biggest story of the week is that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn got sent home from the European tour this past week with the supposed story that they had been acting up, they had been going into business for themselves, that they were being difficult to work with, that they're being jerks on the bus. I mean, like, all these stories were flying rampant, and it was like, no, that doesn't sound like them.
Here's a hot take. Yeah, hot take. Not even a hot take, just the news bit. They weren't even on the bus.
Yeah. So there was like a lot of speculation as to why, and basically it came out, what it boiled down to was on SmackDown on Tuesday, they were supposed to take a beating from New Day, they didn't take it, and they walked off, or they ran off instead, and so people were saying, oh, well, they went into business for themselves, they're unhappy, they don't want to do what WWE wants, you know, because there are all these rumors of people wanting to leave, and it turns out it was just a miscommunication where apparently Sammy and Kevin didn't get the memo or didn't understand the memo about what had happened, and so they didn't do it, and they got sent, you know, and obviously there was a miscommunication on WWE's end as well, where they didn't realize that they hadn't gotten the memo, and so there was just, like, mass miscommunication, and they got sent home because of it. I'm sure that there have been a lot of apologies on both sides, I would imagine.
And hopefully that's it, you know. Maybe there's more to the story. Maybe what we heard originally is true. Maybe because they were causing a ruckus, that was true. You don't know, but it seems more than likely because more people are reporting what she just said than are reporting the other side of the story, so we're going with what the majority are saying rather than the minority.
Yeah, this is all speculation. Nobody really knows actually what happened. That has not come out yet. Zayn and Owens have not released a statement. They're not going to release a statement. And WWE is declining to comment. So all of this is rumor. All of this is speculation. But I'd like to think that Kevin and Sammy just, you know, generally did not hear the message or misunderstood the message. And that's what happened. That it's all just one big misunderstanding. Because I just refuse to believe that Kevin and Sammy are going into business for themselves. I just refuse it. I refuse to accept that.
And maybe this entire thing's a work?
Could be. It could be. It's entirely possible.
Who knows, but that's the deal going around, so we'll see how this progresses as the days go on.
Speaking of Tuesday, it was Election Day.
Hey!
And while we saw many shifts and many different seeds, we saw a particular shift go in the direction of a blueprint.
Oh, really?
That's right. Matt Morgan, who was running for Longwood City Commissioner in Florida, won his seat, so he's now officially a commish.
In District 4, I believe.
Yes, so congratulations to Matt Morgan. We wish you luck in your political endeavors. Do you want to do Dancing with a Brother?
Might as well. Let's do Dancing with the Brother.
It is time for this week's Dancing with the Brother update. For some reason, Drew Scott is still there, while Nikki Bella isn't. That was this week's Dancing with the Brother update presented by The Rack Extra. Total Brothers. I mean, Total Divas, heard weekly on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Dude, that is so mean. That is so mean.
But is it truthful?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's mean! You could have at least said what place he was in.
I didn't even know what place he was in. I just knew he was still there. This was a last minute production.
Oh, God.
I was babysitting all day. I didn't have time to produce this, the thing at the last minute.
Actually, you know what we could do? Is we could actually do, if we ever wanted content, Property Brothers, Total Brothers. We could do it. We could totally do it.
We could totally do it.
Y'all want to hear us do the Property Brothers and talk about HGTV shows? Because why the hell not? In that, you know, winter slump where there's nothing on TV?
Because we comment.
We do comment. And it's actually a lot more, I think, entertaining than anything we say on Total Divas.
Sometimes.
Or Bella's, for that matter.
Sometimes.
It's way more reactionary.
Yes, it is.
there's way more F-bombs dropped. Way more. So if you want to hear us do Total Brothers, tweet us, Facebook us, rackradioshow.com, you know, email us, whatever. Pigeon us. I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Pigeon us?
You know, messenger pigeons.
Carrier pigeons?
Whatever. It's the original form of tweeting.
Yeah, back then, when you use carrier pigeon, you could use more than 280 characters.
Yep.
This whole bird thing where you can use 280 characters now. Back then with the original pigeon, you could use as many characters you want. You didn't even need to use fancy hashtag or at symbols.
Nope.
Hell, an address is usually closer to 140 characters to begin with. Just saying.
Just saying. So, moving on from there, let's do the blame rocks.
All right, go for it.
I'm going to read the whole list, and then you can play your creepy sounder.
Okay.
Fair?
Fair.
All right, so we have releases from both WWE and Impact Wrestling to go through. We're going to start with Impact Wrestling. The following people have sadly been let go. Earl Hebner and Bram no longer re-signed with Impact. I'm very disappointed with that.
I
know.
He hasn't re-signed with Impact. He's no longer with them.
He's no longer with them.
I mean,
it's so sad. My heart. But yeah, the bigger surprise was Earl Hebner. This is the continuation of them letting their refs go because they're now going to be more Canadian. And they're using local refs as opposed to bringing people in.
They're using 12-year-old children.
They seriously are. One ref looks like he hasn't gone through puberty. I'm very concerned about this.
I think he's a CZW referee.
He could be.
I think that's what people were saying.
He's like, it's entirely possible.
He looks 12 years old.
They need to feed that boy something. Get him some muscles or something,
Because reasons.
He looks like a child. Moving on from WWE NXT, Leo Gao, Sawyer Fulton, and Josh Breedle of Tough Enough fame, who's actually the second winner next to Sarah Lee. So now Sarah Lee and Josh are both gone. So no more Pound Cake and no more Yeti.
Can I hit the button now?
Yes, hit the button.
Hashtag blame rock.
You're fired!
I guess, technically, we should do a Happy Trails.
And yeah, we gotta do a Happy Trails, that's right.
Go ahead, go for it. What's your Happy Trails?
Happy Trails! James Storm finished up with Impact Wrestling tonight. He gave a farewell speech after the tapings in which the little tidbit that we heard, he thanked Dixie Carter, Bob Ryder, and the fans for all their support as he moves on in his career. And he put out a really nice tweet, too, in regards to his position, where basically it's like, you know, one door closes because it's time to move on, and another one's going to open.
Right, and you can only move on when that door finally closes, and that's the opportunity. He would always stick around. We saw him venture out away from the company for a few months, but made his way back, and now, as they venture on to a newer direction with stickers and everything, James Storm is no longer with Impact Wrestling. His final match will probably air about 8 weeks from now.
Something like that, yeah. No word on if he's going to WWE or not. He's just kind of moving on. So here's the tweet. Sometimes God closes doors because it's time to move forward. He knows you won't move unless your circumstances force you. Trust the transition. God's got you. Hashtag thank you, Storm.
There you go.
So best of luck to him as he moves forward in his career. Like I said, there's no confirmation on if he's going to WWE, if he's going anywhere else, or if he's just going home. Because the poor God knows the poor man has earned time at home with his family. So it remains to be seen, but you know, thank you, Storm, for everything you gave us in TNA. He was kind of the reason I started watching TNA, so little heartbroken that he's finally gone. Or I shouldn't say finally, but he's gone. Because he gave his heart and soul to that company.
He did. So before we get into the biggest story of the... Oh, we got a couple of them. Yep. But let me go give you the tidbit that I've come across.
Okay.
There will not be as many pay-per-views in 2018.
For who?
For WWE.
Oh, thank God.
At least in the beginning of the year.
Oh, God.
We got December has a SmackDown pay-per-view. January has a joint pay-per-view. Raw has a pay-per-view in February. March, at the beginning of March, has a SmackDown pay-per-view. And then it's WrestleMania.
And then it's business as usual.
Who knows? But the goal is to do less pay-per-view.
That would be very much appreciated. I can't be doing this every 2 weeks.
There'll probably be a point where it's a couple every 2 weeks. Probably in the summer, but that's okay in the summer.
But it's so unnecessary, just in general.
Oh, I know, but it may be closer than, maybe every 3 weeks, who knows. But if it's every 3 weeks, I can do every 3 weeks.
I can do every 3 weeks, because that's nice, because you get a little break in between. Because it's like, I mean, it really does, especially when they're kicked into high gear, and it's like, you know, okay, you've got, it literally, like I said at the beginning of the show, it is literally review, preview, every week. It's, you know, you're talking about a pay-per-view, and it gets so exhausting after a while. It's like, I don't want to talk about the pay-per-view. I want to talk about this thing that happened in wrestling that I really, really want to, you know, discuss. It's like, you know, this week it's the Ric Flair 30 for 30 happened, which we're going to be talking about later. I really want to talk about that. Thank God this is not a pay-per-view week, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to talk about it. You know, so it's like, it's that kind of stuff that is just like, oh, yay. So a break from the pay-per-views is appreciated.
So there's your tidbit.
There's our timbit.
Tidbit.
Timbit.
Our munchkin.
Hashtag Timbits.
Hashtag munchkin.
Anyway, moving on, speaking of
hold
WWE.
Hold on, before you move on. Apparently Krispy Kreme wants to buy Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh my god, that would make it so much better.
Anyway, continuing on with news presented by Gerwick Dunnett.
By the way, this is The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and thanks for tuning in. So, speaking of WWE pay-per-views, a match has been announced but not been announced for TakeOver, and that is that Snarly McSnarlson himself, the UK champion, Pete Dunne, may be taking on Johnny Gargano for the UK title.
He will be taking on for the UK title, but it will not be on TV. Maybe. It's not a takeover. I kind of believe, just me, that they're going to tape it and put it on the NXT TV show the following week. But
probably.
Because that's what they normally do. But they don't want to say that yet. Because they want people in the building to see it. So, I don't know. We'll see. Well, maybe we'll see it. Maybe we won't. Who knows? But if you're in the Texas area, Houston, go watch Johnny Gargano and his abs after he beats Shawn Michaels in the ab off take on Pete Dunne for the UK title.
Really kind of excited about this because this will be a fantastic match, but I'm also curious because I thought the UK title was only exclusive to obviously the UK and possibly Europe. I didn't realize that it could be won by someone in the US and held by someone in the US. Like, I didn't think that was a thing.
Maybe Johnny Gargano is British.
I don't think so.
You don't know his family history? You don't know his lineage?
I think you have to be currently British.
Who says you have to be currently British? Who doesn't say he's not 1% British?
Well, I'm 1% British, so I could win the UK title, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Pete, come to my house. I'll make you vegan things.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to make a vegan thing.
Let's be real about this.
I really don't even believe in vegetables that much, so...
So, again, Pete Dunne will not be stopping.
No, Pete Dunne will not be stopping by. Neither will Trent Seven or Tyler Bate. Sadly. And last but certainly not least, the second big match that got announced this week, much to the surprise of everybody, including WWE, is that Chris Jericho will be taking on one Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom in January. This is exciting.
Big news.
They've been kind of teasing the rivalry on Twitter now for a little while, and things have been escalating, and Omega made the challenge, I believe, and Jericho accepted.
No, Jericho made the challenge.
Okay, all right. Jericho made the challenge, Omega accepted.
Yeah, here's what happened. So Omega goes, I beat everybody. There's nobody. Lights go dark. 5, 4, 3, 2, who's gonna be? Of course, it's Chris Jericho. It's the Alpha versus the Omega, and TJ is not involved. But yeah, it's a big deal that Chris Jericho's working Wrestle Kingdom. It's a big deal that he's been negotiating with them since August to get this match with Kenny Omega. Many believe this was going to happen on his cruise. A big Jericho cruise that he's working on for next year. He has a lot of Ring of Honor talent, and Kenny Omega was one of the talents that was going to be on the cruise, so you put two and two together and went, hey, that's where they can do it. But it's better than doing it on, in Japan rather than on a boat. Because reasons. Many more people will see it. And it's cool that he's doing it. It's going to be a cool thing. Will it be the greatest matchup we've ever seen? Probably not. But it'll be a cool moment. What does this mean with Chris Jericho and WWE? I don't think anything has changed. He's a free agent. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. I like the whole statements of Chris Jericho would never go anywhere but WWE.
He's been everywhere.
He's been Mexico. He's been Japan. He's been in ECW and he's been WCW. So, anyway. Does this open the door for him to go to Ring of Honor? I do not expect Chris Jericho in Ring of Honor. I expect Chris Jericho back in WWE at some point, because let's face it, this is just a one-time deal. Even if it's two matches, it's still a short-term deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And let's face it, Vince McMahon just tweeted today, or yesterday, whenever it was, happy birthday to Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Jericho's pretty free to do whatever he likes, because like we said, he is a free agent at this point in his career. He's not really looking to pick up a full indie schedule. He's not really looking to pick up a full WWE schedule. He'll do it if he wants to, but he's really kind of now fulfilling the dream match scenario, whereas like he can pick and choose who he wants to work with, what he wants to do, and when he works, because he's trying to fit this in into his Fozzy schedule. So, you know, it's like He wants to work Omega. They've been teasing it. Guess what? He's going to do it because WWE can't say anything about it, you know?
Right, and here's the deal. This whole thing started with Chris Jericho realizing how great the Conor McGregor build was with him and Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
And Jericho thought, I could do something like that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. So that's why the trash talk on Twitter started. That's where the genesis of this whole thing began. So Chris Jericho's doing this because to Chris Jericho, it's about the surprise moments. And no one knew this was going to happen. He surprised us all. Everyone woke up on Sunday going, wait, what?
Yeah, right? Feels
like that's a Sunday thing now.
Yeah, because it's like they let people go over the weekend too. It's like, what? Why are you guys doing this on like a Saturday? That's not good news you want to get on a Saturday. Saturdays should be happy days. Sundays too. Like, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those are the three happy days of the week. And then we all gotta go back to work Monday. Do it on a Monday. Mondays are, you know, generally bad. But yeah, I mean, it's like, this was really cool news to hear. I'm excited for it. I don't know if I'm like super uber crazy about it just because it's like, I haven't been exposed necessarily to Wrestle Kingdom. I've watched a little bit of it, but we don't really have it here. And I'm not able to find other methods of watching it.
She doesn't know Japanese, and a New Japan World site's really hard to navigate with Japanese. They're working on an English version, yada yada yada.
Something like that. So, but the little bit I've seen, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of it. It's not my forte. I'm not really into like the straight wrestling kind of thing. I'm very much just into the theater that is WWE. But I mean, for what I saw, it was good. It was very good wrestling. So bravo to them for that. So yeah, I mean, I will watch Jericho and Omega and probably enjoy the hell of it out of it because there will be theatrics in it. Omega is probably one of the more theatrical wrestlers that New Japan has. And Jericho can definitely live up to that, as we all know.
Indeed.
So I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, speaking of theatrical, like I hate I keep using that word, but I can't help it. It's too true. We are going to be talking about the ESPN special on Ric Flair, the 30 for 30. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, believe it tonight, I do happen to have a bit
have a show planned for you. I know. You're like, what? I know, it's a bit surprising. I know. And, you know, sometimes you just gotta bear with me, though. I got what you need.
Celebrating 10 years of CB Radio.
I challenge the people who are listening, because we are trying to be the number one file talk radio show on the air. You have to get your grandmother, great aunt, your second cousin, your cousin who thinks that he's your second aunt, to listen to the show. And you need to get him on the air and disfigure him from the world or something, but you need to get him on the show and listen, because goddammit, I will eat your babies.
Join us for the 10-year celebration of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. CB Radio. December 2nd. Midnight-ish Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey to date, Instagram.com/MBG1211. And, well, if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FiveBooth.com, because we love them and they're amazing. And before we talk about the Ric Flair 30 for 30, got a news item. We forgot something. How could we forget him?
What did we forget?
Okay, so we sat through 45 minutes of damnation on Monday night. Because what do they show at the tail end of Raw? They show freaking Luke Harper is in damnation, right? So it's the debut episode, and there's nothing on that commercial that says he's on another episode. So it's like everybody, I think, assumed, oh, hey, Luke Harper, he's going to be on damnation. Everybody watch it. I got lied to. Lied to. You know when he's freaking showing up on that show? December.
5th.
December 5th. 5th. Nothing in the commercial. You know, nobody said anything about, you know, Luke Harper being in damnation on December 5th. Oh no, we were all led to believe, oh hey, look, he's in the debut episode. We literally, 45 minutes of that crap.
We sat here, and I, like 45 minutes ago, I went to Google and went, where's Luke Harper in damnation? And it says December 5th.
Because yep,
let's talk about this for a second. This is some weird-ass show.
But we weren't paying attention to it.
We weren't. It's weird. There's, whorehouses, shootings, the Wild West.
Okay, so it basically takes place in the Midwest in the 1930s during the Depression-ish. They're kind of light on the Depression stuff. And it's about a tale of two brothers. And one brother is this preacher who's leading a revolution of farmers. And the other one is sent to track him down. And he's a cop of some sort. There's this crazy blonde chick who's like a kick-ass shot. And I kind of lost interest from there. So, but yeah, I got lied to. Because there was no Luke Harper. And by the way, everybody freaking about the Bludgeon Brothers thing, calm down. They're on a freaking European tour. They're not going to be home for 6 weeks, probably. Their clothes are more than likely stanky. That's why they're not wearing their Bludgeon Brothers stuff. They've been wrestling in it all week. It's likely gross, and laundromats are kind of hard to find when you're only in a city for 5 hours. Okay? Everybody calm down.
We could have watched, you know what we could have watched on Tuesday?
We're not going to talk about that.
No.
No, we are not talking about that.
We could have sat here live and watched 30 for 30.
But instead, oh, because you're going to talk about something else.
No, instead we watched Damnation because we had the UK show, the 205 Live. We had 30 for 30 or Damnation. We want to see Luke Harper and Damnation.
Because it's Luke Harper. We have to support Luke Harper.
Right.
I know, we could have watched the 30 for 30 live. Actually, I'm kind of happy that we didn't watch the 30 for 30 live.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy we didn't watch it live.
One, because, you know, commercials. But two, because it's like it kind of gave everybody else a chance to watch it. And then it's like you can fast forward through, you know, some of the stuff you don't want to hear. Which I'm going to, like, point out. If you have not seen this yet, it's an excellent watch. I highly recommend it for anybody that is a fan of wrestling, anybody that is even remotely interested in Ric Flair. Check it out, because it's so well done.
Yes.
But there is heavy, heavy stuff in it. Like, I'm not even going to pretend that it's not, especially towards the end, spoiler alert, they discuss
Reflect. Yeah, they discuss Reflect. I warned her about it, so that's why she's saying, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, so, not going to tell you what it consisted of, I'm not going to tell you everything that happened in it, but, you know, it's like, so if you haven't seen it, one, turn off this podcast if you don't want spoilers. Two, go check it out, because it's a, and I told Rock this, it's a really open, honest, refreshing view of Ric Flair, because normally we get that polished WWE rose-colored glasses version of Ric Flair, where they really don't talk about a lot of the crap that he's done in his career and his life and who he really is. And granted, this was a little polished up too, but this was much more open. This was much more honest.
It was an open... It was an open and honest discussion on the life and times of Ric Flair, his history, his not so good attempts at being a father. It was blunt and honest how much of a father figure he tried to be, but really wasn't, because for him, being at home was the worst. He hated being at home.
Especially in his younger days when, you know, he had David and Megan, that, you know, he didn't want to be there. And it's like, and even Charlotte talks about how he was never there. He was never home. They got things instead of getting their dad. And then what they really wanted was their dad. And like, you know, there's an understanding that, yes, that's the sacrifice that you made to wrestling, is that he's always gone. He's never home. You never see him. But it's like, that's what they really wanted, was him. You know, they talk about the failed marriages, they talk about the money problems. Oh God, the money problems.
Let's get into that. We'll start. So, it just towards the end, it's more about those money problems. They do the whole thing about the retirement, and Sean always knew, you know, this may be a WWE retirement, but everyone knows you can't take Ric Flair out of the business. Ric Flair, it's been well documented for years, has had money issues, because he lives such a lifestyle where spend.
Well, I mean, he talked about it all throughout the episode, where he was buying cars, he was buying airplanes, you know, robes, gear, clothes, houses, you know, you name it, he was buying it. He was spending his money, he was blowing his money, he wasn't saving it. And so when he came to the tail end of his career, he had nothing. Because he'd gone through multiple divorces, he, you know, spent all the money he'd made, so he was really very much in trouble.
Which then led him to go into Impact Wrestling, which they showed, boy, has that promotion changed. So is the people in it. Which led to one of your first things you noticed of James Storm in the documentary.
James Storm looks so young in the documentary, it's probably circa what, 2007?
10,
so yeah, so it's about 7 years ago. He looks so much younger. Obviously, because it's 7 years ago. But,
yeah.
I digress. But, yeah, I mean, it's like they talk about how he went to TNA for the money, and then you have Hunter make a very, I guess, like, just chilling comment. I don't want to say chilling because that's not the right word, but basically he's like, I use Ric Flair as an example of what not to do. Where it's like, you can have everything and end up with nothing.
Triple H was very open and honest about Ric Flair in many situations. Which was very refreshing. Here, he was brutally honest about Reed Flair and Rick's denial of Reed's issues. That was very made clear. Things Lindsay did not want to mention, I'll mention here. They played the phone call.
The 911 call.
The 911 phone call, which was not something you want to hear. Very rather sad. And it explains the condition Ric Flair has turned into. The drinking. It's the whole documentary is all about Ric Flair's drinking and his, all his problems. And he's been drinking for a very long time. And he tells a story in there about drinking for 17 years, where he would drink 10 beers and have 5 cocktails in a single day and do other things at the same time. And the doctor wondered, how are you still alive?
Yeah. And after Reed died, he drank every day for a straight year till he got drunk.
From 2,
every day.
2 p.m. to 2 a.m.
all day. I mean, it was insane to hear. You're like, oh my God. And they actually ask him at one point, how are you not dead? And he answers, I don't know, because I should be. Like, he was literally, after Reed died, trying to drink himself to death. And he almost succeeded, and I think that's when Hunter stepped in and got him the help he needed, because he saw that he was drowning, or I should say Hunter saw that Rick was drowning and needed help bad, and got him the help that he needed. And actually Hunter says that he forced him to get it against his will, that he didn't want to do it, and so they made him. Basically, they had an intervention with him, it sounds like.
Yeah, they had an intervention with him, and went from there. This documentary was very well done, as we've mentioned. The honesty from a lot of the guys was very nice to hear. Stories from Hogan was great. Hulk Hogan were great. Tully Blanchard was really good in it. Could have done without some of the ESPNers. I could have done without, what's the MMA guy's name?
Charles Sonnen?
Yeah, I could have done without him. I don't think he should have been in it, but that's just me. I don't think he added to it. He just sort of wanted to put a bad spin on things, and I guess that's why they chose him. But I don't know. I didn't like that part.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Sting in this, because there's a moment in this documentary where Sting is talking about Ric Flair, and he's telling a story about how they were all flying on a 747, and out comes Ric Flair in nothing but his shoes, his socks, his robe. He's stark naked, and he's hard as a rock underneath his robe, and he opens up his robe, and he looks at Sting, and he's like, "Hey, how about this?" And, like, basically sticks his dick in Sting's face. And Sting is, like, looking down at the floor. And he goes, "I've never seen anyone more naked than I have Ric Flair." Like, he can't even look at the camera when he says it. He's just, like, he's so ashamed of it.
He saw how big Space Mountain was.
He's gotten to see how big Space Mountain is, yes. Several times, I'm sure. But, to me, the favorite...
Hold on, before you get there. Speaking of Space Mountain, it was 10,000 people wrote Space Mountain.
Supposedly.
That's what he says. Anyway, now go ahead.
Anyway, all bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and dewy-eyed about Ric Flair was one Undertaker.
A.K.A. Coffee Mark.
A.K.A. Coffee Mark, because he made the crew coffee and snacks, which was very sweet of him. He's all domesticated. It's like, aww. But yeah, he interviewed Ric Flair, and you could see that little twinkle in his eye when he's talking about Flair's lifestyle and, like, what Flair did. And it's like, you can just see, he's like, yeah, I did the same thing. Like, he's having all these memories. Because he's like, who wouldn't want to live like that? You know, it's like, hot girls, and you know what? I think they actually got him to say hookers and blow.
Something to that effect.
I remember him saying blow, because I actually was like, I was listening to this while I was doing other things, and I looked up, because it's like, wait, did he say what I think he said? What? So, yeah. It was just, he was in it. He was great. Like, everybody was great. You know, that was the thing, was it was just very well produced. They put in a mention that Ric Flair had gone into the hospital and that he had been direly ill, but he kicked out and he was recovering. So that was a nice little addition. But you could kind of tell that they were putting this together when Flair went into the hospital. And so the way that they kind of told that story was that they were not expecting Flair to make it. Because there's a point at the end where they ask him, how do you want to be remembered when you're gone?
Yeah.
And you knew that's like, you know, that's what the closing moment was before they're like, well, you know, Ric Flair went in the hospital and then he, you know, yada, 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 on and so forth, which ended, you know, his career. I mean, that's, you could tell that's the way that they were going, but it was kind of like they stopped there because they didn't know. And then he pulled through and it's like, oh yeah, he's going to be okay.
But yeah, this would have been an interesting documentary to be released if Flair had passed away. That's the best way to put it. It would have told the story. It tells the life story of Ric Flair in a way that needed to be told. It was real and honest and or semi-honest, whatever you, however you want to put it. But it told the story that needed to be told, and it's a tragic one. You hear about the relationship with his parents and how it was not really well, how his father didn't approve of the wrestling or didn't get the wrestling. And you could see why he drinks. You could see why he does this and everything like that. It all adds up. And every situation really sort of comes together, and you really get an idea that Richard Flair is not Ric Flair, and Ric Flair doesn't want to be Richard Flair.
I still think there's a lot of underlying issues in him that are obviously probably never going to get resolved at this stage, but I mean, yeah, there's definitely, underneath all that confidence, underneath all that wooing and Flair and, you know, jet flying, profiling, you know, suit wearing, son of a gun, whatever the thing is, that there's some image issues there. And I think...
Kiss, deal, wheel, deal, and jet flying, son of a gun. Woo!
Woo! That, you know, it's like they're definitely... there's almost like an inferiority complex there that may or may not be, but it's just like, yeah, he's not confident, I think, in himself and who he is, because I think he doesn't know who he is.
No, because he's been Ric Flair for so long, that's who he is.
And that's something that they talk about in the documentary, is that he's been that way for so long that it was a huge struggle to get him to not be that way anymore. And that's always been kind of the problem with him, is it's like, wrestling is the escape. Wrestling is his life. He doesn't want to go back to real life. He doesn't want to be, like, you know, Rock said, Richard Flair. He wants to be Ric Flair. And so, you know, he doesn't want to retire because then he has to go back to real life. He doesn't want to, you know, deal with the drinking because, you know, that's going to take him back to real life. So he's finding other escapes. And so when people try to help him, especially, you know, with the money or anything else, it just becomes a problem, because it's like JR was talking, like, you know, they were at a bar one night and Flair bought drinks for the bar. And suddenly they're all partying. And JR is like, well, I don't want to party. I just want to shoot shit and go to bed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that was like, you know, he's like, I don't understand why everything has to turn into a party, but that's Ric.
That's who he is.
That's who he is. So, but yeah, it's really, really, really good. Like, really good, really well done. I want to see more like this, where they do other people. They did one on Vince.
No.
No?
No.
I thought they did.
They never, ESPN did a documentary, never did 30 for 30.
Oh, I think they should do a 30 for 30 on Vince. That would be really interesting.
It would be.
And Taker. Somebody do Taker. Mainly because I just want to know what that one's gotten into in his life. Because he's got stories. People have shit on him. Nobody's talking about it, but people have shit on him. And I just want Taker. Because seeing him on the documentary, hearing his voice. He has a really nice voice, by the way. Was just epic. Because I'm in withdrawal at this point.
You're in withdrawal.
I'm in Taker withdrawal. I have no Bray Wyatt. I have no Undertaker. And they won't put my Swamp Babies on TV. I have nothing. Very upset about this. Anyway, I think that does it for the Ric Flair 30 for 30. Like I said, check it out. It's on demand?
I believe so. Or check the ESPN app for details. But before we go to break...
You're a dick.
Now we go to break.
Anyway, when we come back, we're going to have all your favorites. Two of the week, NXT, SmackDown. So you don't want to miss it. It's The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The chosen one.
The journey of the chosen one has begun in WWE 2K18. Follow his path from WWE NXT hopeful to WWE superstar to one day being WWE Hall of Famer. Watch the rise and fall of the chosen one. Only at youtube.com/rackradioshow.
The chosen one.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FiveBooth.com as well, because they're awesome and they're amazing and we love them. You'll love them too. And well, if you just tuned in, you missed the news, you missed the second discussion, because no pay-per-view. Yay! But you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I wonder if the people who created the song will actually redo it for 280.
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. But anyway, Sheamus, this is conversational. Cesaro, because it's a picture of them standing on the ring apron on the European tour because they're teaming with Bray Wyatt versus The Shield and Hunter. Cesaro, you think Bray could do that with a mohawk? And Sheamus goes, if he learns to hashtag respect the hawk, hashtag mindhead, hashtag the bar. And it's Bray doing his little arch bridge thing as Hunter's looking at him like, what the hell? Pete Dunne, my gift to the WWE Universe. Punching Enzo in the face. Thanks, Pete. We appreciate it. And I'm not sure how this next exchange got started. Like, I can't find the original tweet.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of have to go with it. But yeah, so basically Corey Graves and Piers Morgan got into it. Piers Morgan tweeted Graves and goes, mate, I have 5.8 more followers than you. When it comes to relevance, I'm John Cena and you're Heath Slater. And Corey Graves goes, I owe you an apology. I actually do like your carpool karaoke show. Wait, oh, my bad.
All right, for reference point, Graves said something on commentary.
Okay, all right. And this is kind of out of order, too, so. Corey Graves tweeted, I'm sorry, I meant no disrespect. I had no idea who you were. I simply Googled most hated man in England. Welcome to relevance, though. And Piers Morgan replies, you're the guy who couldn't make it as a wrestler, so turn to bad commentary, right, WWE Graves? He Slater goes, best day ever! Piers Morgan knows who I am. Hashtag Piers Moron. And Morgan replies, don't get too excited. I just asked Spencer Morgan 93 to name the most washed up WWE wrestler. Ow. Noam Dar tweets, Piers Morgan is a dafty, pass it on. And Morgan replies, mate, I only deal with wrestlers on the main roster. Who let you use the phrase superstar? I can delete those now off my thing because I felt dirty liking something of Piers Morgan's. Never mind several things. Moving on, Finn Balor, eat me! And it's a picture of his WWE ornament as a gingerbread man.
One.
There's going to be more than one. Why are these out of order? These are so out of order.
Because there's too many characters.
Probably. Hawkeye football, swore in the field, Hawks win. And Biggie replies, I almost cried, bruh. But like manly tears. Masculine, virile tears. Hashtag Hawkeyes. And I'm trying to put these in order. Did I get the original tweet? I don't think. Anyway. Alright, so Sunny Rain tweets, "Oh, Big E, Xavier Woods, a true Kofi. Yeah, have no idea what you have did on Monday. The big dog is coming to get you." And Big E replies, "Chill, lady. He's only about 250. They should call him the medium dog, not the mid dog. They definitely call him the mid dog." And she replies, "He won't be mild next week when he kicks your asses, but have fun thinking he's a mild dog." And Big E replies, "I said mid lady, like Reggie. Reggie Reigns." And Roman replies, "Actually, I'm closer to 275. I'm also 6 inches taller than Big, but not that tall, E." And he puts a shock face. And Big E's like, "That's right. I'm not tall at all. Thankfully, we're not hooping fam." I love wrestlers on Twitter. It's so much fun. It's just so much fun. But that does it for Tweet of the Week. And I think I got BRB'd. Looks like I got BRB'd. So I get to stall and interact with our chat room. This is why I don't do a show by myself. So anybody got any tweets out there? Anybody at all?
Hi, I do.
Okay, you go.
It was a quick BRB. I'm back. All right, let's see. Where do we begin? All right, Miss Kitty F. Kevin Owens broke Chris Jericho so much that Jericho's got to fight every KO now.
Fair.
CNBC tweeted, "Breaking: 21st Century Fox has been holding talks to sell most of its company to Disney." Sources say. Ryan Reynolds, "If this is true, I wonder how the fudge it will affect Deadpool." Get it?
Get it.
Lindsay, what does Luke Harper tweet?
X Day. You know what that means.
Rusev, "It's Rusev Day, bud."
Yep.
Not SportsCenter rankings. Week 10 NFL Power Rankings. Number 1, Philadelphia Eagles. Number 29, Georgia Bulldogs. Number 30, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number 554, AJ Green's wrestling moves. 555, the New York Giants. 14,565, Kaepernick's job status. 14,566, San Francisco 49ers. 3,822,445, Winston W's speech. 3,822,446 to Cleveland Browns, because reasons. Rusev, "Congrats to my friend John Cena, who qualified for Survivor Series, fair and square. Go get him, Tiger."
Ouch. He's not bitter. He's not bitter at all.
He's not bitter. Joy tweets, "If Real Ellsworth defeated AJ Styles 3 times, should Becky Lynch have a title shot for the WWE Championship now?" Becky Lynch. I think that's how it works. By the way, apparently WWE has now trademarked for WWE Mixed Match Challenge.
Hmm.
Talk about that in a minute. We'll get to SmackDown. Rusev, "iPhone, you just suck. Give me back my is dumb M." Whatever that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I guess an old phone. Someone named Emmett Gore. Rusev, "Will WWE release in 2018 characters that are corrected to show that every day is Rusev Day? There will be something released next year." "That's for sure," said Rusev. Thomas Dreamer. "Coincidence that after that, at Twitter moved 140 to 280 characters the same day, we are talking about Ric Flair's penis? I don't think so. Hashtag woo. Hashtag nature boy. Hashtag space mountain. Headlock comics. Be quit. Best use of 280 characters. Put Luke Harper back in the big rake gimmick. He's already over with Smarks, and WWE hasn't had a redneck hero since Steve Austin. Can work with anyone and deliver main event promos. He could easily be a top guy."
Luke Harper is definitely a top guy. He's super underrated right now. I don't know why they aren't pushing him. Push the crap out of Luke Harper. Please.
Rusev. "Okay, all business now. Watch Total Divas tonight to see wife Lana first match. I believe she wins, but no spoilers."
Thanks, Rusev.
Kid Carnage. "Rusev Day sucks. Hashtag Nature Boy Day. Bunch of dots. Said no one ever." WWE on ESPN. "Happy Nature Boy Day." Rusev. "You people just don't get it, do you? Hashtag Rusev Day." I love Rusev on Twitter.
He's so much fun on Twitter. He really is.
He's really so much fun on Twitter. But now, that's Tweet of Week.
All right, well, let's do SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Before we get into SmackDown Live, next year for Color Rush Day for the Seahawks, don't put them as the same color as the turf.
Thanks.
Just want to point that out.
I had to turn this game off because their uniforms were literally giving me a headache. Like, they're so bright.
So, SmackDown Live. Nothing happened. Time for NXT. Oh, wait. Stuff happened. Let's see. Rusev failed in his attempt to be on Team SmackDown, losing to Randy Orton.
This is a fail. This is so a fail.
Rusev should be on it. Next week, Natty will face Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's Championship. There was an injury angle where the Usos got hurt, but not really hurt, as Gable and Benjamin won the match. Via countout. It looked like he really hurt himself, but apparently it was not an injury. Lindsay saw it right away that it was not an injury.
but it looked really weird.
I told you!
You did tell me. It still looked like it hurt.
It still looked like it hurt, and it looked like he did catch his foot under his leg, but it's just like there's something about it where... The thing is like for injuries, they don't replay it. It's like automatically, they generally, especially for something that bad, where it was almost like they were mimicking a torn quad, they generally cut to commercial really, really quickly. So if it was legit, we wouldn't have seen it, they wouldn't have replayed, or we would have seen it, but they wouldn't have replayed it like 16 times. And they wouldn't have shown him getting help to the back. It would have been, they would have just automatically done a hard cut to a commercial, which they generally do, and then gotten him to the back very quickly.
As mentioned, we talked about Kofi Kingston being Sami Zayn. It was a good match. And we all talked about everything involved in that. Let's talk about James Ellsworth.
Okay.
And he came out there and he was running down Becky Lynch, talking about how this is not women's Chester, it's Manchester, and doing all the stereotypical man things against... What a catch! What a weird-ass throw and a weird-ass catch, and go almost in a score. That was a hell of a thing.
Yeah, that was. That was like... I mean, that was a great throw under pressure, because they're backing him up. They're right on him, and he just, like, pitches it.
He's just running for his life and just chucks it up there.
I mean, I'm more amazed at the catch, because it's like, the dude throws it, right?
He's just throwing it.
That's Wilson?
That's Russell Wilson's throwing it. Doug Baldwin caught it.
Like, he just picked it out of the air. Like, Wilson just hurls it in the general direction of somebody, trying to get away from the defenders, and he's just like, oh, hey!
I'm right here.
And they just pick it out of the air. It's, like, crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And then Jimmy Graham gets a touchdown. All right, what crazy, like, group thing do they do? Because that's the thing now, is they do group things.
The ball wouldn't catch that? No.
No, Jimmy Graham caught the touchdown.
Jimmy Graham got that. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, back to SmackDown Live. So James Ellsworth was talking, trying to run down Becky, and, you know, how that goes. And then it was announced they would have a match. And then they have a match. Tell them about the match.
Well, first, as James is doing all his favorite man things, Becky had a few choice words for him.
She did.
She did. She basically pulled your favorite line.
Oh.
I warned you as we're talking about football. Hey, get your thing ready.
Oh, right. Yeah, that thing. I gotta find that. I was looking for another soundbite.
What other soundbite is there?
I don't know. I don't know why I can't find it either. It didn't come up in the folder.
Anyway, basically she looks at Ellsworth and she's like, I'm gonna break you, bitch. You hear me? That's exactly what she does. And then they go out and they have a match and all the women are down there watching the match, watching Ellsworth get beat up. And it wasn't the squash match that we wanted. Ellsworth got a little offense in. It was not as physical as you would think it would be. Like, Becky was very physical. James was not. So it was not, like, the best showing for an intergender match, because I think James was trying to be intentionally very, very careful.
They had a wrestling match.
They had a wrestling match, but it was not as hard-hitting as some of the others we've seen.
No, they wrestled instead of actually went back and forth. And that's, if they're going to do these sort of things more often, then I'm okay with them going in that general direction.
Yeah, and they'll get better because, you know, again, it's been so long since they've done intergender matches that they've kind of still got to figure it out.
Because
I don't expect them to be all the time, but I expect them to be more often now.
And they have to walk a fine line on physicality. And since they went into a more wrestling style, that it made more sense.
And I'm just going to say this right now, now that the store has been opened, Nia and Braun for tag champs. Somebody make it happen. No one would be able to stop them.
No one would be able to stop them, honestly, because they would be too monstrous people doing a thing.
They'd be two badass people.
They would be two badass people. Let's be real. They would be. So they had a match. Becky won. After the match, Ellsworth got super kicked by Carmella.
So Carmella seems to be done with him, and, well, they're beating him up all over the European tour, so there's speculation Ellsworth could be done soon, which I think is pretty accurate, because I can't imagine they signed him to a very long deal.
About a year, right?
Yeah, it's been about a year.
Makes sense, then.
Yeah, so he's coming probably towards the end of his deal, and we're going to say bye-bye to James Ellsworth.
At some point, yeah.
At some point. Unless they figure out something else to do with him.
Which they could. Oh.
Dude just picked that out of the air. It's incredible.
He did, by the way.
I'm going to break you, bitch. You hear me?
There you go.
It's like I gave him the perfect setup to play that. And he
I
just
know.
Even
I couldn't find
have
it.
Have it at the ready.
I didn't say it. I thought I had, I had it labeled something I didn't. I forgot what I labeled it.
Well, rename it to something that you're going to know what it is.
I know what it is now. I thought I labeled it with, like, Nikki or something, but it's just labeled Break Your Bitch.
Anyway!
What else happened on SmackDown Live?
I don't remember.
What was the big story that happened on SmackDown Live? Two words. And new?
Oh, right. Right. That.
What happened?
That happened. Yes.
What happened?
So, AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal had a little match for the SmackDown title. And in a surprise to everyone involved, AJ Styles beat Jinder Mahal. And he is...
That's what
Damian Sandow was there?
Yes, that was what I was looking for.
Ah, okay, all right, fair enough. Ending a 6-month title reign. So there have been a lot of like really mixed reactions about this. Some people are really, really happy. Some people are really pissed off because, you know, basically people see certain views of AJ Styles as problematic, depending on if they're true or not. You know, I'm not going to go into any of that because I don't know how true any of that is. It's like, I don't base anybody's opinion on a tweet that's like 5 years old. I just can't do that. But it could still be true. Who the hell knows? But moving on. So some people are really pissed off about that. Some people feel the title shouldn't have come off Jinder. I'd like to point out to everybody that's really pissed off about this and upset about this that Jinder Mahal gets a rematch and they're going to India in December. If for those of you that I need to do the math for, Jinder Mahal can very easily cash in his rematch when they go to India and he can win the title for a second time in India in front of his quote-unquote hometown crowd. That's probably what they're setting up, which we've speculated on before on this show, where it's like you can take the belt off of Jinder at any point, you can put it back on him at any point. The other flip side to this is that as champion, there are certain things that fall on him. This includes being able to draw. This includes, you know, basically a profitability type of thing. So it's like we've been hearing house show numbers have been down, SmackDown numbers, ticket sales have been down, viewership has been down. And all of that can be tied to the product, to the writing, to whatever, but ultimately it falls on the champion to be able to pull people in, regardless of the writing. I mean, it's like when the writing was crap back in 2003, they were still drawing people in because they put guys like Taker, the belt on someone like Taker, and Taker was able to bring people in. So ultimately it is the job of the champion to be able to draw people in, and Jinder was not doing that. They were also, you know, basically trying to attract people in India to buy the network, and network numbers were down. So they made the decision to take the title off of Jinder. There was speculation he was hurt, that he'd failed a drug test. He cleared all that up on Instagram, saying none of that was true, and that he was gunning to get his title back. But I applaud this decision for the simple fact that the title needed to change. Jinder can always get it back. Jinder can have another reign, but 6 months on a reduced size roster where it's an exclusive brand and you have him pretty much go through everybody, that's time for really time for the title to change, realistically. Really? Really? He's why we can't have nice things.
Sums up my feelings.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I'm mixed on it because I feel like the writers did Jinder wrong.
No, they didn't.
No, they did.
No, they didn't.
Just hear me out.
Okay, there was a couple instances where they didn't do my favors. But
I mean, reverting to the racism with Shinsuke Nakamura was not the best thing ever for him, but I still feel like making him the antagonist in the whole thing, where it's like he's, you know, and you have him calling out racism and everything else, which that's fine, I don't have a problem with that, but it's like, the fact that they made him a heel doing that, I don't think that did him any favors. I feel like, you know, and I've said this before, that he had the Yo AJ moment. He was a jobber before. He left WWE. He changed who he was. He changed his body. He changed everything. He got into shape. He came back. He was very impressive to Vince. He came back and he won the title. And he has this huge moment where he wins the title where nobody in God's green earth thinks he's going to win it. And he does. Except for me. I call that. But, you know, so now you put him on this path where it's like, hey, he did it, he won the title, and everybody was super excited and super happy for him, and then you have him pull the heel crap. And it's just like, I get they need credible heels, but it's like, it would have worked infinitely better, I feel, as a face. because he could have been like, you know, did it, and you guys never gave up on me, and you guys believed in me, and, you know, all this other stuff. And for those that, you know, for those of you that didn't, you know, screw you kind of thing. Like, they could have told that story with him and gradually worked him heel as, you know, he sees people resenting him and, like, the shine kind of comes off of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, because it's like everything else. It's, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side, right? So eventually the shine wears off and it's, oh, hey, this actually kind of sucks. And that's when you kind of have him to start get better and maybe go towards the heel direction that he was in. But it's like initially it should have been, I freaking did it. Because you have these adorable videos of him going around to all the people that have supported him behind the scenes. Like, he went to his local sandwich shop with the title and showed them the title.
Mm-hmm.
Which is adorable. I'm sorry. It is. It is so cute. And it's like, he's a heel and he's doing that. It's like, just turn him face. Just make him face, even for a little bit. And it would have made way more sense.
You know what did him in?
Hmm.
Awful matches.
Well, that too. That didn't help.
Creative did not help him, but awful matches did not help him. Awful matches with Randy Orton did not help him. Awful matches with Shinsuke Nakamura did not help him or Shinsuke Nakamura in general. That's just a fact of life. That's what happened with him. He was not drawing. He was not entertaining. He was not what you wanted in a WWE champion. Were you supposed to hate him? Yes. Was he acting like a babyface for India? Yup. But at the end of the day, it just wasn't working. It wasn't. Well, it wasn't go away heat. It was no one cares heat.
I mean, pretty much. It's like people were turning off their TVs. They were walking away from it because nobody was entertained by him. And it's like, I feel like if you're going to make him a face in India, he should be a face in the U.S. If you're going to make him a heel in the U.S., then make him a heel in India, because the U.S. audiences, at least, respond to heels and faces in a different manner than I think everybody else. We boo the faces and we cheer the heels. That's just who we are. But it's only certain ones. So it's like, if you could get him over in a way where it's like the fans react to him like that, that's great.
But fans weren't reacting the way they should have been. They gave him 6 months, and 6 months is a long time. We honestly thought it was going to be longer. It wasn't. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, the plan is, I think, for him to have it till Mania, or to have it at Mania. And again, the title can go back on him at any point. But you did need to freshen up the product, especially heading into Survivor Series. Because here's the other side of this, right? It's Jinder versus Brock at Survivor Series. Champion versus champion. It's like, you've done everything in your power to get Jinder Mahal over, and now you're going to have Brock murder him in front of a live TV audience. That's not really good for the SmackDown brand, so they basically had somebody, they put somebody in place that can take that loss.
By the way,
not only to Brock, but to Jinder.
By the way, now let's talk about, because the G's changes were made in the last week or so, it makes sense. But if you go back to TLC, right? That was the pay-per-view? Mm-hmm. AJ should have beat Finn.
AJ should have beaten Finn. But, you know, it's like, here's the thing. He redeems himself with the title.
I know, but it, from a...
But Finn was the demon.
I'm just saying from a...
Are you really going to have AJ beat Demon Finn?
Demon Finn should never been a thing. It should have been just Finn. But that's besides the point. This was short-term thinking, and all the changes were made in the last week or so. I'm just saying, from a credibility standpoint, AJ should have beat Finn and then put him on a roll going into this. Doesn't matter. It plays no part in this. I'm just thinking logically.
I know, but it's like, AJ's that type of person that he's already good, that he doesn't really need to worry about wins and losses that much. I mean, if he has a bunch of losses in a row, that's concerning, but it's like one match at TLC that nobody, I think, remembers but doesn't remember is not going to hurt him, especially at this stage. And you had him come in and win the WWE Championship. He had a great match with Jinder. We should talk about that, where both of them, he made Jinder look like $1 million. He really did. AJ is just so good. Almost phenomenal.
I was going to say, you mean he's phenomenal?
Yeah.
I believe this was the first WWE title change outside of North America.
I think so, yeah.
And it went to AJ Styles.
Well, I mean, there had been rumors of title changes before, like when they were putting together Survivor Series, because everybody was looking at it and it's like, oh, okay, you've got a heel here, you've got a face here, you know. So it's changed the title to make it, you know, bad guy versus good guy. And that's what they've been doing. They did it with the tag titles. Now they did it with the SmackDown title. What's going to be interesting is if they do it with the SmackDown women's title.
I expect the title change next week.
Yeah. They're in Charlotte. It's Charlotte versus Natty. The 30 for 30 just came out. The book just came out. I think somebody's getting a sparkly new title to match her blue robe.
Woo!
Woo! But we'll have to wait and see. So that was SmackDown in a nutshell.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown. NXT!
before we do NXT, I'm calling my shot right now. Raw's in my city next week. I'm not going. Watch, like, Bray Wyatt show up. I know Roman's showing up, but watch, like, everything big happen and I'm not there.
Taker will be there.
Taker will be there. You know, everybody will be there.
Taker, Kane, and Bray Wyatt will all be on TV on Monday night. So, Lindsay will be crying on the phone because she was not there for it.
That or tune into the Raw post show Monday night after Raw to hear me complain about how Bray Wyatt was not on TV. Again.
I think that's more likely.
That's probably more likely.
Let's
but he is back.
He's back on the road.
He's back on the road. Bo Dallas is back on the road. Oh, by the way, another show recommendation. Again, before we do NXT, because it ties. You haven't seen the latest ride-along with Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas? Go watch that.
How does it tie in?
Because Bo Dallas is a former NXT champion. And they talk about NXT a little bit. While Bo talks about how he, like, almost died. Like, seriously, how did he make it to adulthood? How did that happen? Just hearing the one story he told and knowing there are others like that. It's like, dude, how did you make it this far? That's some, like, the divine intervention or something like that. That's the only thing I can figure. So, yeah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, tune in to Ride Along. It's on the WWE Network. Watch it and just listen for the moving truck story, and you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Speaking of moving trucks, Heavy Machinery beat Sean Maluda and Chris Pawn. Yep.
Go, Heavy Machinery, go!
Pretty much. Kairi Sane took on Billie Kay. Fine match. Kairi Sane.
Very fine match.
Kairi Sane won with the insane elbow.
Not too much of a shock there.
They put over Kairi Sane. That's what it was supposed to do, and that's what it did. Setting the stage for TakeOver before we get to TakeOver. Ember Moon accepted Mercedes Martinez's challenge, and they will square off next week.
Hey!
So that should be a fun match to see. Cassius Ohno walked into William Regal's office and says, I'm on a roll. I went in the world title picture. But before I do that, I want a match at TakeOver. The match he wants is with Lars Sullivan.
Why?
Regal was like, are you serious? Like, that's the look he gave? Are you sure? Regal was like, okay, you got it. So, Lars Sullivan and Cassius, oh no, and NXT boy, take over War Games.
Regal's like, Godspeed.
They did a really good video package for War Games.
Yeah, they did. It was really well put together.
Nice
and stuff. They made sure to give credit where credit was due.
Yeah.
If you didn't notice that.
Uh-huh. We had a nice little promo with Zelina Vega and Andrade Cien Almas talk about how people thought they could beat the old Andrade, but this is the new Andrade.
I'm actually kind of excited for this match.
Should be interesting. The Velveteen Dream beat Cesar Bonani and stuff. Velveteen Dream wants Aleister Black to say his name. Then there was an awful promo with Ruby Riott and Sonya Deville. It was awful. Sonya's acting is awful.
They look like they could be sisters.
They do, but the acting in this was awful.
Yeah, the acting in this was not primo. Like, I get that they are wrestlers and they're not the best actors in the world, but this was like on the level of me trying to act. It's pretty bad.
When in a couple weeks they'll have a match is what we got out of it.
Pretty much.
And then your man. Oh wait, Street Profits. They were walking around giving people cups. They took Tino Sabatelli's suit, and they're gonna have a match next.
Yay!
Points. Maybe. Probably. And Roderick Strong, Adam Cole took it on each other. Good match. Ended in a no contest.
I got screwed out of points.
When the Authors of Pain, well, you're lucky they called it a no contest, because you would have lost points.
Par for the coast.
As the Authors of Pain showed up, everyone, and then the rest of Sanity showed up, everyone got involved. It was a big brawl to end the show heading into War Games. What'd you think?
I thought this was a good NXT. I thought it was a nice build to War Games. I mean, again, the promo package for War Games told a nice story. It was a good introduction for the audience that have never seen it. Like, I've never seen War Games, because they don't do it that often. And I know I just committed internet blasphemy. I'm so sorry. But I've never seen it. Like, I've only ever heard it talked about, and it's one of those rumored things where it's like, oh my god, they should do War Games, like somebody says, like, every 2 to 5 years. So, they're doing it. It was a wonderful introduction. They really hyped it up. They made it seem really dangerous, really out there, like, oh my god, these guys are going to die because this match is so dangerous type stuff. And they credited Dusty. They put Dusty over, like you do. They put the match over. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing War Games just based on that promo. I don't know if I'm, like, super excited for it. Like, I don't know if I'm super excited for anything on the show yet, but definitely digging what they did Wednesday night.
I'm going to read you what the ending of the match was. Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly interrupted Roderick Strong versus Adam Cole, leading to a massive brawl among the War Games teams. That's the official result of the match.
They interrupted it. Doesn't mean they touched anybody.
They interrupted. That's all.
They could have interrupted. They could have had a vocal interjection that they needed to put in there. There's nothing about a physical interruption, just that there was an interruption.
Yeah. Next week, we'll be previewing NXT TakeOver with the NXT analyst, TJ Omega. Rescheduled,
yes. And possibly...
the assistant to the assistant to the assistant regional intern.
But he has to check his busy schedule.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens there. Solid Edition NXT, it's going to be interesting TakeOver that we're going to see in a little over 9 days.
Something like that. I'm looking forward to the go-home and seeing what they do for the go-home. Because they generally have good go-homes.
Sometimes. But
it's more consistent than Raw and SmackDown.
Sometimes.
Anyway, that does it for the show. So you've got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Numbers are key to Saturday night on CB Radio, CB Radio Live, on Facebook, Twitter.com, The Greater the Great Debate, and all that fun stuff at CB Radio Saturday Night's Midnight-ish. Hashtag Blame Rob When a Celebrity Dies. Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio Preview Survivor Series, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's The Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night's twitch.tv/rackradioshow, 11:15 p.m. Eastern is WTR Sims. Go to youtube.com/rackradioshow. Subscribe to the YouTube channel for daily WWE 2K18 content. The archive of WTR Sims will be up on the YouTube channel tomorrow at noon, so check it all out. YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 7, Episode 2. Now available where we talk all types of things, places, and stuff. And the Episode 3 will be available next Thursday. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show is all over social media. Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. You name it, we're there. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Rate it, like it, all that stuff. But yeah, we're all over there. Rack Radio Show on all the social media platforms. At Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
So I have a question. Is CB Radio the longest running...
the longest running weekly episodic podcast in podcast history?
On this network.
No. Because that's Wrestle Talk Radio.
But didn't they take a hiatus? Haven't they taken several hiatuses?
We are the most consistent. Actually, no. This show. Between this show. Any show I do, we are the most consistent show on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Anyway.
5 years strong, no hiatuses.
CBRO 10, December 2nd.
Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD, and my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lynn's Ward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG, 1211, and Fightbooth.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week for Survivor Series. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.